Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And great chapter, Matthew chapter 6. One of them that I actually one time had memorized. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1 says this: "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father," notice, "which is in heaven." Verse 2, "Therefore when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and watch it, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter thou in the closet. When thou shut thy door, pray, notice, thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for notice, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Notice the Father through there. The word Father is found 12 times. You could keep reading through Matthew chapter 6. It's found more times in Matthew chapter 6 than any other chapter in the Bible except for John chapter 14. And I want you to notice verse number 8, "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." And I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on Father Knows Best. Amen. Father Knows Best. And there's a television show we've been watching it here lately the last few months. We've been recording it during the day. We watch it at night. I've never ever seen it as a kid. I don't know anything about it. But I didn't watch a whole lot of TV, Brother Al, when I was a kid. You probably didn't either, did you? Only show I can ever think of my family ever watched, I was telling somebody the other day, only thing we ever watched, it was Alabama football when it came on once a year or so. And my daddy, Miss Freda, he used to watch Bonanza Sunday night, and we watched wrestling Saturday night, Tojo Yamamoto. That's it. I never watched Andy Griffin, never watched Leaving the Beaver, never watched Father No. I didn't know why. Our TV sometimes didn't turn on for a month when I was a kid. I mean, we didn't, you know, it wasn't a big deal in our house. But we've been watching Father Knows Best, and that's kind of interesting. Father Knows Best, it was started as a radio program in 1949. It started on the radio as a radio sitcom with Robert Young in 1949. 1954, back then radio was king in 1940s, by the way. And then TV came out in 1954. Father Knows Best went to the TV. And it went from 1954 to 1960. It was originally titled Keep It in the Family. That's what they originally titled, but after a few episodes, they renamed it to Father Knows Best. And it tells the life and laughter of the Anderson family. If you've ever seen it, Jim Anderson, he's an insurance salesman, you know, and he's kind of the wit and wisdom of the family. And you got Betty there. She's kind of boy crazy, you know. And then you got Bud. He's your typical all-American quirky kid, boy that falls in. And you got Kathy, the youngest one, always trying to get attention and all that business. And the mother, Margaret, she's the one that kind of keeps everything together and guides the house, you know, and provides reason. But in the end of the day, it's always Father Knows Best. That's why it's called that. And today, it's kind of interesting. I was looking on the TV guide last night. We saw it. And all day, one of the TV stations, all day, all they're playing is Father Knows Best for Father's Day. And I got thinking about that, and I actually had this message for a couple of weeks kind of thing after watching it. But Father Knows Best, and I'm talking about my Heavenly Father tonight, and I'm going to give you a few things about Him. I want to say Father Knows Best, give you just some simple things here tonight. Father Knows Best, number one, Father Knows Best, Brother Al, because He knows the rest. Amen. He knows the rest. Y'all remember there's a guy who used to come on the radio years ago, and I love this guy. His name was Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey had one of the best radio announcing voices ever. He revolutionized the radio. And Paul Harvey, I still like to listen to him. I got some of his old stuff. And he'd come on, he'd give you something, and he'd say, "Now for the rest of the story." Remember that? And he'd tell you behind the scenes. And you know what? Father knows best, because he knows, Brother Al, he knows the rest of the story. See, I don't know that much. My father knows best because he knows the rest of the story. Take your Bible, flip to Job chapter 8 real quick. Job chapter 8. You and I, we don't know a whole lot. Let's just be honest. I mean, the best I know is right now. That's it. I don't know. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day..." I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know. But my Heavenly Father, He knows best, because He knows the rest of the story, Miss Frieda. He knows how my life's going to turn out, Miss Martha. He knows all the dangers. He knows the pitfalls. And my Father knows best because He knows the rest of the story. Look at Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, verse 9. Here's Job talking. It says this, and this is true. This is actually Bildad talking. And he says this, Job chapter 8, verse 9, "For we are but of yesterday." You ever heard that phrase? "We're but yesterday." That means we know nothing. That means we're not even present. We're in the back yesterday. "For we are but yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow." I mean, it's just a shadow, a vapor that appears for a while. In our days are but yesterday, and we know nothing. Listen, God knows best. Our Father knows best, because He knows the rest. Look at Job chapter 24. Flip over to Job chapter 24. Father knows best because He knows the rest. He knows the rest of the story. He knows how this thing's going to turn out. He knows the dangers in my life. He knows what I don't know. He knows all the hidden doors and all the things. He knows those things. And He knows best because He knows the rest. Look at Job chapter 24, verse 1 says this. Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Do they not know Him? See, times are not hidden from God. God don't see past, present, and future. God sees the whole cotton-picking story. Father knows best because He knows the rest. I don't know what befalls me. I told you when we was down in Florida, Pensacola here a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Al, I was down there we got down there Monday. Tuesday, I was out there working in the yard with my son-in-law, helping him put up a swing set, and he come to me and said, "You know you got a flat in your car." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "You got a flat." And so I went out there, and sure enough, I had a flat on my car, and I got my son to take me down to Firestone and fix the flat. Everything was hunky-dory. They put the flat on. We were ready to go. We brought it back and put it on the car. I didn't drive the car the whole time because my kids, they towed us around. And I looked at it and checked it a few times out. Everything looked good. I mean, how hard is it to fix a flat? Saturday, we got up to leave. We got up at 4:30 to get out the door at 6 o'clock. I went out there about 5:30, started packing the car. And you know what, Brother L? That tire was flat. Flat. Flat, dude. And I had, you know, and I just had to, you know, take care of it, look and saw where Firestone was open at 7 o'clock. You know, my daughter and her husband, they were still asleep at the time. And they got up, and my daughter said, "Well, Dad, I guess the Lord wanted you to hang around a little while, is all." You know, I got thinking about that, Miss Carol, and I don't know the rest of the story. See, I don't know, Brother Al, there's a drunk driver coming down the road. I don't know if God said, hey, Terry, I got to keep you here, Miss Frieda. I got to keep you here a couple of more hours because I need to protect you, because I know the rest of the story that you don't know. I don't know, but I know Father knows best, because He knows the rest. I don't know, Miss Jenna, if you had car trouble a couple of weeks ago and the oil was spying out of it like I mentioned. I don't know. It was because that Father knows best, and He knew the rest of the story. And He said, "Sister Jenna, I need for you to stay here a little bit longer, because there's something down that road. If you leave right now, that's going to harm you." I don't know, but He does. Father knows best, because He knows the rest. I don't know my future. He does. I don't know my failures. He does. I don't know when I'm going to draw that last breath, Brother Dodd. I don't know when I'll take that very last breath, Brother Ben. But He knows the rest of the story. Father knows best, because He knows the rest. I have no idea what's going on. James chapter 4. I love that chapter over there. go to now, you say. James 4:13, today or tomorrow we would go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know. And he goes on, for what is your life? But a vapor appears for a little while and vanished away. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord live, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. We don't know. Father knows best, Brother Ben, because he knows the rest of the story. He knows, Miss Martha, that last day that I'll be on this earth. He knows, Miss Liz, that last breath that I'll take one day. He knows that. And he knows what's best for me. Father knows best because he knows the rest. Psalm 39:4, David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, and I may know him and how frail I am. I don't know what a day may bring forth. I don't know the rest of the story. But Father knows best. There's a man, his name was Ira Stanfield. Ira Stanfield was a famous gospel hymn writer. He wrote over 500 gospel songs. He wrote Mansion Over the Hilltop. He wrote Jesus and Me, Happiness is the Lord, Room at the Cross for You, 30 Pieces of Silver, Supper Time, A Walk with His Hand in Mine, all that. A lot of great songs. He was born February 1914. He was born in New Mexico. By the age of 10, Ira was an accomplished musician, Miss Frieda. At 10, he had mastered the piano, the organ, the ukulele, the guitar, the saxophone, the clarinet, and the xylophone. At the age of 12, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. By the time he was 17, he was writing gospel songs and preaching around the country, Brother Al. By the time he was in his 20s, he was already a well-known evangelist and pastor all around the country, Ira Stanfield was. Well-known, famous evangelist. He had a childhood sweetheart. She was the daughter of a preacher, of his pastor, and her name was Zelma. And him and Zelma got married in their young age, 21, 22. And Zelma was an accomplished piano player and singer, and she wrote some gospel songs. And it was a marriage made in heaven. Childhood sweetheart. I mean, everything lived for. 1948, Zelma left him, Miss Martha. His wife, his childhood sweetheart, this girl, this lady that he had destined to serve God with, a preacher's wife, she left Ira, Miss Liz, to go out in the world for some other men, hang around other men, and to serve the world and get name entertainment. Well, 3 years later, in 1951, she died in a tragic automobile accident running from God. Ira Stanhill was devastated. His wife left him, divorced him, and ran off with other men and went out in the world and killed in a car accident. One day he was driving down the road and he was crying and weeping to the Lord. And he even got to the point in his life where he got out of the ministry for a while and even thought about just giving up the ministry totally. He was so devastated and depressed. And he got driving down the road, he was weeping to the Lord and crying out to God and asking God, why, Lord, I did all the right things, Lord. God, I did it right. Lord, we did it. Then, Lord, look at what's going on. And some words as he was driving down the road began coming to him. And he said this, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. I don't know, Brother Al. I don't know the rest of the story. He does. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the spirit is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood. But His presence goes before me. And I'm covered with His blood. As he was singing that song and their words were coming to him, he was driving down the road. It was that song that brought him out of the depression. It was that song that God gave him that gave him back in the ministry. He later married a girl named Gloria and they served God and he went back in the ministry with her and he lived to be 80 years old serving God. You see, Father knows best because He knows the rest. Father knows best because He knows the rest. I'll tell you something else. Father knows best because He knows the test that we'll go through. God knows the tests and the trials and the things that we'll go through. We don't know them. Father knows best because He knows the test that we're going to face. Leave It to Beaver one time. Had it on there. No, Eddie Haskell, Sarah's boyfriend, who she's crazy about. Aren't you crazy about him? Oh, Eddie, Brother Ben, he stole the test. Saw the test on the table on the teacher's desk, and he got it and put it in his pocket, Al. And boy, he had it made. And he's telling Wally, and of course, Lumpy bought in it 100%. And he told her, he called Wally Sam all the time. Wally said, "You better study, Ed." He said, Eddie said, "I don't need to study, Sam. I got the test and I got the answers." That's the way we think sometimes, isn't it? We think we got the test down and we got the answers, and just like something happened to Eddie, they changed the test, see? About the time we think we got this thing figured out, Miss Martha, and we got the test going along, and life will come along and give us a whole new test. And we got a whole new answers. And Father knows best because He knows the test and He knows the answers too, by the way. Some of the things that you went through in your life, some of you have been through things, you'd never been able to handle it without God, and you'd never been able to handle it if He'd have told you ahead of time. I don't know what I'm going to go through, and I don't want to know. I want to take this thing one day at a time, Ms. Martha. I want to go one test at a time. Father knows best because He knows the test. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, "But Thou, O Lord, knowest me, Thou hast seen me and tried my heart." 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Therefore the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that He is." God knows the test. He knows what we're going to go through. Job 23:10, "But He knoweth the way that I take when He hath tried me." I don't know the test. I don't know the answer. Father knows best because He knows the test. If God opened up and showed me what's ahead, Miss Martha, and what's ahead in this life, the things that I'd have to go through, you know what? I'd probably crawl home, crawl inside and cover it up. I couldn't face it. I like that old color preacher one time, Brother Al. He was in church one time and had his colored church. And the preacher said, "Now, I want to know your favorite verses. Favorite verse." And he was over, he said, Brother Leroy, what's your favorite verse? He said, "Well, Reverend, that favorite verse of mine is that one over there where it says, 'And it came to pass.'" You know that phrase? It's more than any other phrase. It's 453 times in the King James Bible. And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "Why is that, brother? Speak on. He said, "Well, Reverend," he said, "I just knows when I read my Bible, I don't go very long that I come across that phrase, and it says it came to pass." And he said, "When I go through things in this life," he said, "I know I don't have to go too far, and I know this thing is just comes to pass." You know what, brother? Listen, God knows the test, and He knows the answers, and He knows it just came to pass. One of my boss's favorite sayings was that. And I had it at work, and he used to drive me crazy sometimes because we'd have a real blow up, we'd have a real problem at work, and he'd smile and he'd just say, he was a Christian man, he'd say, "Now remember, this too shall pass now." You know, God, He knows best, Father knows best, because He knows the test. He knew the test before Adam would go through it. He knew it. He knew what Adam would do before Adam took the test. He knew the answer. He knew he would fail. Father knows best because He knows the test. He not only knows best because He knows the test, He knows the rest. I'll tell you something else God knows about me and you. Father knows best because He knows our jest. You know what the word jest means? It means foolishness. It means ludicrous stuff. It means the dumb things that you and I do in life. And we do a bunch of dumb things in life. It says over there, take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and go ahead and get Psalm 79, Ephesians chapter 5, 79. I want to say Father knows best because He knows the rest. He knows how it's going to end up, Miss Frieda. He knows the test. He knows what we'll go through. And He knows the jest. He knows our foolishness. He knows how we do dumb things all the time. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, talking about jesting. It's foolishness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, verse 4 says this, talking about you and I. Ephesians 5, 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all in cleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting." That's that
foolish talking.
That's that jesting. Look at Psalms chapter 79. Here's old David praying about to the Lord, talking to God. Psalms chapter 79. Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69. Verse 5, it says this, O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. You know, our Father knows best because He knows our jest. He knows the dumb things we do, and we do a bunch of dumb things, and we do a lot of foolish things, and Father knows best because He knows our jest. In this life, we do a lot of dumb things. One of the Levite beavers I'll never forget. They were going to go to a track meet, and old Eddie had his car. And Eddie was going to, or Lumpy was going to drive him. Yeah, it was Lumpy. And Lumpy was the only one with a license at the time. You know, Lumpy was a year older than everybody else. Well, his car broke down and couldn't take him. And Beaver's daddy couldn't go, so he begged Beaver's daddy. He just got a new car, Ward. He said, let me drive your car. And they begged him. He let them do it. Well, they go to the track meet, and on the way back, they take a shortcut through the dirt road. And Wally said, no, Dad, say, stay on the main highway. He said, listen, Sam, we always go this way. And he went down the dirt road, Al, and he saw a big mud puddle, and they went right toward that mud puddle, laughing and giggling. And they hit that mud puddle and went in the car, and the car died. Water got all in the distributor cap. And he opened the hood and said, hey, we can fix this. Eddie and Lemmy said, we know what to do. They took the distributor cap off, and boom, out came a spring. And they pushed the car to a service station. And they got it fixed and they got it washed. They got home and they thought everything was happy. Happy, happy, happy. And Dad would never know. Somebody at his dad's office, Ward, came to him and said, hey, did you get your car fixed? He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I saw your boys. They were pushing your car off that road there into the service station. And that night, Ward came in there and told his boys goodbye, good night and all that stuff. And he said to them, oh, by the way, and he called the service station too and found out about the car. And he even said, I heard about that car. I hope y'all got everything fixed and all that. And he left the room. Beaver said, how did he know? And Wally said, don't you know, Beaver? They know everything. We can't get away with nothing. You know what? Father knows best. He knows everything. We can't get away with nothing. Father knows best because He knows our jest and our foolishness and the dumb things we do. I remember one time, Brother Al, I had jury duty six times in one year. And that was unbelievable. I didn't mind doing it, but I had a job to do. I was on a big project. I was head of the project. I had this project. I couldn't, do all this. And I called the jury duty and they sent me another one. I'd been on that thing six times. And I get this card in the mail. And I called them up. I said, listen, I got to work. I got a job. They said, well, we can't let you off. I said, I've been there six times. I mean, can't I have a break? I'm working on this project. Can I anyway? They said, no, you got to go. And I argued with them. And I was frustrated with that thing. And I told them at work, I told the guys, I said, I got to work. I got to go. They won't let me out. And I went there, Miss Martha, and I was kind of fuming. I'd been six times. And I'm sitting there, and they're waiting, and they call your name. You ever been down there at the civil court down there? They call your name, and they're calling names, and about that time they call Esther Watkins. It was addressed to her. I didn't even look at the name. When it came out, I just thought for sure it was me. And boy, I'm sitting there, and I felt like a dummy. Here I was getting upset about nothing. You know, Father knows best because He knows our jest. And sometimes in life we just make a fool out of ourselves and just do some things. And sometimes our jest means nothing, but sometimes our foolishness, boy, they can get us in trouble, can't they? Proverbs 10:14 says this, wise men lay up knowledge with the mouth of fools, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his ways. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 38:5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Sometimes a father knows best, and sometimes he has to deal with our foolishness and get us back in line. Sometimes, just like your earthly father did. Proverbs 22:15 says this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Father knows best.
Because he knows our jest.
He knows our test. He knows the rest. I'll tell you something else. Father knows best because he knows our quest. Quest means that thing you search for. That's what you quest for in life. He knows the things that you desire. He knows the things that your heart's set on. Father knows best because he knows what you're seeking for in this life. And sometimes, let's be honest, we get off track. And Father knows best. He has to pull us back in line because he knows our quest. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." He knows everything we do. Psalm 37, 18, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright." He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father knows best because he knows our quest. He knows, Miss Martha, what we get excited about. He knows what we live for. He knows what it is when we lay down at night in bed and our minds there. He knows what runs through our mind. He knows what's fixed on our heart. And sometimes Father knows best. He knows our quest. And Father knows best has a move us back to get us back on the right quest. Proverbs 14:14, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." And we get caught up and get away from God sometimes. And that backslider in heart, God knows all about it. The Father knows best because he knows our quest. He knows everything about us. He knows our heart. He knows every thought we have. And he knows when we get questioned the wrong things. It amazes me, and I preached 30 years at Jimmy Hale Mission, and I got to meet a lot of guys down there out of the will of God. I get letters every day from prisoners too. It amazes me how many people think they can con God, Brother Al. It amazes me. It amazes me they think they can get away with conning God. You can't do it. Let me tell you. The Bible said in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." That means to con him. That means to imitate. That means to fake it. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I talked to a lot of guys that come down the mission, prayed with them, and they'd say to me, they said, "Preacher, I'll tell you, I was just conning the Lord, and it caught up with me." You know why Father knows best? He knows our quest. He knows how serious we are about this stuff. He knows what our life's about. He knows where we're reading the Bible. He knows where we're spending time with Him. He knows where we're praying. He knows the quest in life. And there's no way in this world we can con Him. Father knows best because He knows our quest. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 is a great verse. It says this, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Listen to that. "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walk and direct his steps." That old song, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." Father knows best. He knows our quest. He knows the rest. He knows the test. He knows the quest. He knows the jest. Let me give you one more real quick. I want to say Father knows best, and I like this in the best, probably. Father knows best because He knows the fest. See what I talk about. They talk about the word fest, it means a gathering, an event, a celebration. They'll talk about they're going to have a music fest, you know. They're going to have a jazz fest. They're going to have a food fest. And everybody's going to get together and celebrate. Well, let me tell you, friend, there's coming a very, very, very special fest one day that God's going to throw. And Father knows best because He knows the fest that is coming. And over and over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, when you read it over and over, you know what you find over and over and over is God reminding you and admonishing you and encouraging you to invest in that fest that's coming in. Matthew 6 that we just read. Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God saying, "Hey, put it up there, not down here. Put it up there." Father knows best because He knows the fest that is coming. And over and over and over in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, you can't go very far where He encourages those rewards and that fest that's coming. Matthew 25:21 says this, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Over and over and over we find that. Father knows best. Because He knows the fest. You know, down here we invest in a lot of junk down here. It's amazing to me how much people, especially Christians, put faith and jump down here knowing up there you got a treasure store up there, and everything you put down, listen folks, everything you give down here and do down here is proportionally going up there. You know that, don't you? When you get every tithe that you have, every time you give that tithe for this local church, brother, it's going to your bank account up there. Every time you witness and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you're investing in your account up there. The Bible says, though, then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. The Father knows best because He knows the best and what we could have if we had to just invest in that fest. Give it to the Lord. Give it all to God. Down here, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've got several messages on this. It says, you have, this is the world, you have so much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. And that's the world. Listen, the greatest investment you can ever make is investing in God's work. It's the greatest investment in the world. Father knows best because He knows the best. You know, when you got saved, you got a free salvation. But after you got saved, everything you get after that, you got to work for. Nothing's free after that. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything you get after salvation, my friend, you got to work for it. Everything you get after that, every reward, everything, you got to earn it down here. And it's direct proportion down here to what you have up there. Father knows best. Because He knows the fest that's coming. He knows what you and I could have if we got serious about this thing, serving God. I told you this morning, I gave you an incredible story. This morning, Brother Al, this was unbelievable. Brother Stan would like this, because Brother Stan likes it. He memorizes the Bible. Brother Al, over in China, I don't have the article here, I had it at home, but I read it this morning. China, some of them people in prison, Brother Al, they have memorized the entire Bible, it said. And they get the Bible in scraps of pieces of paper, written out. And they'll get it for a few minutes, they'll snuggle them in, and they don't get them long for the guards catch them there in China. And it said they've memorized what they got, and some of them have memorized Genesis to Revelation. A lot of those Christians over there. And you and I are going to have to stand up there beside those folks at the judgment seat of Christ. My soul. I've heard of Christians that have never even read the Bible through one time, Miss Martha. That's hard to believe. I find that just unbelievable. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what the Lord said. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you got saved and God put a foundation on you, Jesus Christ. Father knows best because He knows the fest that's coming. He knows what you can have. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." Notice every man's work. Once you got saved, you built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, but after then, it is work, 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 work. We went through those seven churches at Revelation, and the one thing that Jesus Christ says about every one of them, "I know thy works." After you got saved, it's all up to you what you invest in this deal. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereon, that's upon Jesus Christ, he shall receive a reward. Watch it. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Listen, Father knows best because he knows the fest, and he knows what we could have if we had invested in God's work. I'm not interested in the world. The world don't interest me. Politics don't interest me. None of that stuff. I'll tell you, I got one interested, and that's this old book in serving God. We went out Friday afternoon. We went out there at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock. we went out to Clay, and that's when the traffic comes in. They hold up signs, and we went out there. It was hot. My knee was hurting, and we held up some signs out there. Believe on the Lord, me and Sarah and Esther. We held up signs up there, and my knee was hurting, and I'm standing there. You know, I'm thinking, man, there's nothing in the world like this, Brother Al. It's the greatest thing in the whole world to be doing. We got a lot of people honking horns and thumbs up and all that kind. You saw what he's doing. I'm just putting a little bit into my bank account in heaven. Just investing a little bit, putting a little bit in there, see. Because the more you do down here, folks, it's going to go right up there. It's not God's not a socialist. It's not a one-size-fits-all up there. It's going to be done what you do down here. And Father knows best because He knows the best. God knows what you and I could have if we get rid of it. I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to all, everybody. I read about, you know, Tommy Tillman, Matt Welch, some of these missionaries, men that have given everything in their life. John Prescott living in that van, all that. Brother Vincent over there and all that stuff. And I remember Brother Earl was here, and we went out there, and John Prescott was here. And I said, "You ever met this guy, Brother Earl?" He said, "No." I said, "I want you to meet this guy. He's a nut." I said, "Come out here. This guy lives in his van, Brother Al. All, for the last 20 years, all he does is he lives in a van, travels around the country, and every day he preaches on the street and passes out tracts. All he does, every day, lives in an old rotten van." And I introduced him to Brother Earl and Brother Merle, man, and we left. And Brother Earl said, "Brother, I don't want to be anywhere near that guy at the judgment seat of Christ, man." He said, "I won't be able to stand in the same ground with that guy." There's a lot there. Father knows best because He knows the best. Brother Al, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer service?